Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parshas Vayikra. Parshas Vayikra, Tavshin, Pei Dalet, as we start off a new chapter, a new Sefer, and we'll have Yom of Purim as well, being that this will be the last year before Purim. So this year we have a Shana Me'uberes. So let's first start off with a couple of thoughts about on Vayikra, and then we'll get to Purim. From a Sefer that I never quoted from, Rabbi Sachs's, I think, most recent Sefer that they came out with posthumously, called I Believe. And the end of every Parsha, so he has the thought, and then he writes, I believe the following, the Yesod. So Rabbi Sachs points out, as we get into the world of Karbanos, as we know, which is Vayikra, not all Vayikra. You think Vayikra is all Karbanos. Vayikra and Tzav are Karbanos. And then we have, that's Kodshim. And then we have Tumah Vatara, right? Shmini, the middle of Shmini starts off. Tumah Vatara, the kosher and non-kosher animals, and then Shmini, Tazria, Mitzora. Achremos is back to Avoda of Yom Kippur, but then many other halachas, including Arayas, and then Kedoshim Emor, as we have spoken about the structure of Sefer Vayikra in the past, the different areas that the Kedusha starts off in the Beis Hamikdash and spreads out. But it starts off with our Karbanos. So Rabbi Sachs notes here, and I believe, that many Nevi'im over and over again rebuked Klal Yisrael and said, Hashem doesn't want your Karbanos. Many times. You named the Navi. Right? Why do you think Hashem wants your Karbanos? Look at line 10. When Shmuel Hanavi says to Shaul, remember when Shaul says when he did not destroy Amalek, right? This week's Haftorah, Parsha Zohar, right? Where Shaul says, what do you mean? I kept the animals from the Amalekim in order to give us Karbanos. And what does Shmuel answer? You think Hashem wants your Karbanos? Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obedience to the Lord's command? Obedience is much better, right? Listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is better than sacrifice. Compliance than the fat of rams. So Shmuel said it. And Amos said it. And he quotes the Psukim in Amos. And Hosea, right? For I desire goodness, not sacrifice. Obedience rather than burnt offerings. And many times in Tehillim, as he has it. And Yirmiyahu says it as well. Line 27. For when I freed your fathers from the land of Egypt, I did not speak with them or command them concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice. But this is why I commanded them, right? Do my bidding that I may be your God, v'chulu. And then, of course, we have the beginning of Yeshayahu, Shabbos Chazon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want your Ketores Shav and the Mincha Toeva. So there's a whole parsha and many mitzvahs having to do with Karbanos. And yet many times throughout our discussion here, we have the Nevi'im saying no, no, no. So how do we understand this? Obviously, maybe it's a known, you know, just a note as we look at all these stories, but it has to be said. And that is, it's not that these Nevi'im were against Karbanos, obviously not. They were against, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was against, these Karbanos. Why dafka these Karbanos, right towards the bottom? It was not that they were opposed to sacrifice as such, right? They didn't. And we have many psukim and Nevi'im that talk about that in the future. V'arvel Hashem and the Karbanos, what do we say every day in davening three times a day? Right? V'hashavis ha'avoda l'dvir be'secha. Bring the avoda back. Right? So it's not that they're against Karbanos, but they're against Karbanos if the lifestyle does not reflect the message of the Karbanos. When we're not consistent in our Avodas Hashem, that's the problem. Turning over the page. They were not criticizing the institution of sacrifices. They were criticizing something as real now as it was in their time. What distressed them to the core of their being was the idea that you could serve Hashem, you could bring a karban, and then do whatever you want the rest of your life. At the same time, acts disdainfully, cruelly, unjustly, insensitively, or callously towards other people. You could think you could do one, ben adam lamakom, check, brought the karban, and then we could go do whatever we want outside in life. The first thing the Torah tells us about humanity is that we are all created, b'tzelem Elokim. Therefore, if you wrong a human being, you're abusing the only creation in the universe on which God has set his image. A sin against any person is a sin against God. And that's what he says, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, I've chosen to teach your children. In that context, We have to know the message behind Karbanos. Isn't it interesting, says Rabbi Sachs, that Dafke in Sefer Vayikra we have Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha. It's not in Dvarim, Bamidbar, Shmos. Dafke in the Sefer that's known as the Sefer of Karbanos, we find the twin commands to Vahavta L'Recha Kamocha and V'yahavtem Es Hager. Right? The Karbanos have to reflect a holistic view of Avoda. Amos, Hoshea, Yeshayo, Micha, Yirmiyo, all witness societies in which people were punctilious in bringing their offerings to the temple, but in which there was bribery, corruption, perversion of justice, abuse of power, exploitation of the powerless by the powerful, and this is a contradiction, right? You can't just do the Bein Adam LaMakom without doing the Bein Adam LaChavero, right? And that was the problem here, right? The problem here is Karbanos need to reflect something. They're not taken in a vacuum. I think we've quoted in the past, maybe we even quoted this a couple of weeks ago, right? We quoted in the past a line of again, the same message, a line of the Me'iri. I think it's Chazal, but the Me'iri quotes it in two places. At least one is in the Hakdama to Shas, where he notes the parallel in the Aseres HaDibros on the same lines, 1 and 6, 2 and 7, right? And he notes that, you know, 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 5 are pretty, obvious. And lo sirtzach, as he was just talking about. Because every person is created in the image of God. If we kill a person, Rachmana Litzlan, so then it's denying the Emunah. Right? That's 1 and 6. 2 and 7, right? Avodah Zarah and adultery, which are often compared in Navi. Right? When we leave Hashem, it's like going to another woman. Right? That's 2 and 7. 4 and 9, right, Shabbos and Eidus Sheker, because giving Shabbos, keeping Shabbos, is Eidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Beautiful. 5 and 10, Lo Sachmod and Kibud Avaim. A little trickier, but both focus on other people, not yourself. Kibud Avaim, I recognize that I didn't do it all on myself. I needed some help in this world. And Lo Sachmod is about, I'm not just focused on myself. It's the violation of just focusing on myself. It's all about me, me, me. But what about 3 and 7? This is what the Me'iri says, right? What about Lo Sisa, right? Swearing, bearing God's name falsely, and Lo Signov. So says the Me'iri. I don't have it in front of me, but again, the Me'iri's lashon is, you might say that it means that often when you steal, you have to cover it up with an oath. Okay. But then he says, because often we wear talis and tefillin and then go behind people's back and steal from them and trick them. Same thing as the message here. Right, you bring a karban and then you think you can do whatever you want behind people's back. Right, the Bein Adam LaMakom is Yotze Mi, and I don't have to worry about the Bein Adam LaChavero. And that's what Rabbi Sachs says, why all of these Nevi'im were so, they're not against karbanos, and there are so many messages of karbanos, and they got a karban, right? We translate it as sacrifices because we don't have any better translation for it. But the shorish of a karban is lekarev, to come close to. And there are secrets of karbanos that, again, we say this every year, we don't fully understand. Again, the more we focus on the details of Karbanos and we learn Maseches Vachem, Maseches Menachos well, then we can learn messages of every detail of every Karban and how every Karban is different, the relationship between an Asham and a Chatos, and how do those compare to an Ola, and the different types of Karban Todas. Every detail is there to inspire us and to teach us, but it's a whole world that we're not used to. But we know, you read Tanakh, all the nations did it in a way to serve their God. And we recognize Adam Arishon brought a karban. Noach came off the Teva, he brought a karban. Right? There are messages here. So Rabbi Sachs says, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we have to be consistent. And that's what he says towards the bottom. Intention and mindset were essential in the sacrificial system. Right? Machshava is crucial in a karban. To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to serve humanity. Right? It goes together. It goes together. Turning over the Rambam, and then he says at the end, I believe, right, this is how he ends off every Parsha, right, that's the name of the book. I believe that to love God is to love our fellow humans. To honor God is to honor our fellow humans. We may not ask God to listen to us if we are unwilling to listen to others. We may not ask God to forgive us if we are unwilling to forgive others. So we have to recognize that. We have to recognize that idea of consistency. Related, a separate thought, but related to that is a thought that you have there in source number 4 in Chamudi Daniel, Rabbi Daniel Stein, who says, based on a pasuk later on in the Parsha, at the beginning of Perek Dalad, right? We have the organization of Sefer Vayikra, we have Ola, and then we have Mincha, and then we have Shlamim, and then we have Chatos. So one of the Chatos starts off Asher instead of Im. Asher Nasi Yachta. That the Nasi is the king. Asher Nasi Yachta. And Rashi quotes, what's the word Asher? From the word Ashrei. Praised. Praised is the generation whose king sins and is ready to bring a korban. Ashrei Hador. Shehanasi Shelo Nosein Leiv. Lahavi Kapara Al Shigagasa. Right, that's the Rashi. Kavachomer Shemischaiv Al Zdonosav. Okay, that's Rashi. So here in the Chumash Daniel, he quotes, what a great generation that has such a ruler. Shemakir michisronosav, that could recognize from his lackings. V'toyosavu modal chatov. The question though is that he asks the Chamud Daniel is, why is it so? It's a great king. How do you know it's a great generation? Right, Ashrei Hador. What, I mean, I guess he could be an inspiration, but per se, it's Ashrei, the king, that does that. Why did the Dafka jump to Ashrei Hador? Umatu Mishpei Garni Yisrael Salanter. He quotes from Yisrael Salanter. One thought, Shebedera Klal Adam Ein Roa Chova La'atzmo. A person can never see negative about themselves. Ulola Motzi Yitzad Zchus Al Shigi Yosef. L'chein Zalka Gadam L'chaveirav. We always have to have our friends to tell us when we're doing something wrong. Bram Benasi, but a king, who's going to tell the king they did something wrong? Nobody's going to have the gall to do that. Lahamido, I'll tell Yosef. Machas pachad. Shemayorin osam mitafkidim. He'll fire them. Aye, if the king does it, becholzos, maybe anasi karban al-chatov, zeosimin shadar lo hechnifalo. If the king does it, it must be they have a good generation. Because they must have told him they did something wrong, and in that way he did shuva. Okay, that's one pshat. But he has another pshat here on the left side. Avol nire bipshitus, lavar devi chazal beofan achir. Shekavanes lomar, shetov lichyos bedor. Shebarosho. It's great to live in a generation whose leaders are ready. They have enough self-worth and bitachon atzmit that they're able to admit faults. Somebody who's unsure of themselves can't admit any fault. If somebody is very true and they know they're kochos, they could say sometimes, I made a mistake, or even I don't know. Rashi says many times, over 25 times, Rashi says, I don't know. Va Barosha Omeid Manig, Sheishlo Bitachon Atzmi Va'anava Lahodos Shutoe. He has humility. Shaideze Yomara Nasi Mishkiyosa Vala Avar. Echlat Sliach Basid. He'll learn from his mistakes in the past how to be successful in the future. Vine Kasha Lachaladam Lahakir Shueno Mushlam. It's hard for us to recognize that we are not complete and we are not perfect. And especially if we're a leader. Especially if we're a leader, it's hard to recognize our faults. So Ashrei Hador, right? Praises the door because they have that door is zocha to a leader with anava, with humility, who could really be a leader in that way. Ube'emes anava hu atchuna hachashuva biyoser b'chtei l'kvo emishu roli osmanig. The greatest leaders, they have number one ingredient to be a leader is humility. Because if we're looking for it, we're not a good leader. Somebody once came to the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, it says in Pirkei Avos, if you run away from Kavod, Kavod runs after you. I've been running away from Kavod for so long. I don't see it running after me. So the Rebbe says, because you keep turning around. You keep turning around. Don't turn around. Right? So we have to, the greatest midah is Anava. V'atam shenifcha Moshe lamod b'roshim, as we know, why was Moshe chosen? Shitztayin b'midas Anava. But he was mitztayin. And then he quotes something fascinating. We know from Vayikra has a little aleph. A little aleph, because Moshe Rabbeinu, the Balaturim, right, Moshe didn't want the covet, he didn't want it to say Vayikra, Hashem called me, no, I didn't go Vayikar, and, you know, Hashem happened to, you know, to spot me, but, so Hashem, there was a pshara, right? So, yeah, you have to write it? Okay, you write it with a little aleph. But he quotes here in the Sipur Chasidim from Rav Zevin, see, he quotes from the Balatanya, that if you look at the beginning of Divrei Hayamim, which again is a repeat, Divrei Hayamim Aleph is a repeat of a lot of the second half of Shmuel Aleph, and Shmuel Beis, David HaMelech's life, Shmuel Beis, and some of it, and then And then Divrei Yamim Beis starts with Shlomo HaMelech becoming king. So the first nine prakim of Divrei Yamim are just lists of people. List of people. It starts off with the beginning. Adam, Sheis, Enosh. But if you look in the Divrei Yamim, it's a big aleph for Adam. It's a big aleph. It's an aleph rabasi. Right? It was huge. So Adam Arishon, though, maybe part of this was part of the chait, line 16. Who yadas malas asmo v'siyarbekach. I'm Yitzir Kabav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was nichshal beitz hadas. Again, you might say chava, but he has a big aleph, and Moshe Rabbeinu has a small aleph. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu tikin es asher ives Adam Arishon. Moshe Rabbeinu helped to fix what Adam was mistaken in. V'yavo bishagam hu yadas malas atzmo b'chozos lo his ravrav bazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu kept the humility. Ela adrabah hashofa be'enei atzmo. And maybe that's alluded to. The small aleph of Moshe Rabbeinu and the big aleph of Adam Arisha. Okay, so it's Anava. Anava, and that's how we have a leader, and that is the first part of his thought. But he continues. Again, and that's the Asher Nasi Yechta, the Anava. But then he says, okay, great, so you need the Anava to be a leader. Why, Dafka, did the Torah wait until now, Sefer Vayikra, to give us this message? Obviously, in Baloscha, we're going to have it more. But say it earlier. Right? It says earlier, back in Vayisra, in Yisra, Vayikra Elav Hashem Minahar. By Har Sinai, we should already put the Aleph, the small Aleph. Why is it Dafka here? V'tzorech Biur in the middle. Amai Dafka Baparshas Vayikra, Kasa Vayikra Im Aleph Ze'ira. V'yesh Lomar. Shatam Shemtina Torah Tchilas Sefer Vayikra. Why did it wait? L'rames Almidas Anvesenusos Shom Moshe Rabbeinu. It's to reflect again his deep anava. Kivan Shesefer Vayikra. Now this is going to relate to what Rabbi Sachs was talking about, because Sefer Vayikra is all about the first half of Karbanos, and the root of Karbanos is not just to bring the carbon the Maisa, but it's about the humility, about the consistency. I don't just bring a carbon and do whatever I want in the rest of my life. It's about, that should reflect humility. Adam kiakrav mikem carbon lachem. You have to bring, right? I once heard a description. Imagine I was mechalel Shabbos b'shogeg. Rachmana litzlan. So I have to bring a carbon. So I go from my house in Beit Shemesh. I got to buy a cow. So I got a sheep. Okay, so I go to the store, the animal. Okay, I want to buy a sheep. Why do you want to buy a sheep? No, but don't ask. Why do I buy a sheep for? Oh, carbon chatos. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. That's already one level of embarrassment. Okay, I bring it. I have to schlep the sheep home as I'm bringing it home, and everybody's looking at me. Oh, the sheep. Why does he have a sheep? Oh, you heard you. Chatos. Okay, I bring it home. Okay. Next day, I got to bring it up to Yerushalayim. I start going to Yerushalayim. I have to start making pit stops. Everybody sees me going to Yerushalayim. Right. Oh, he doesn't have loaves. I guess it's not a carbon toda. Oh, what? Why? Oh. Nedava? People will wait till Yontif to bring Nedavas. I guess it's a chatas. The whole way there, I'm like the busha. And I finally get it to the Yerushalayim, and I'm slipping it and bring it in. And like, oh, the corner announced, okay, there's another chatas here. Like, no, shh. It's like, this is what it is. So we have to recognize that's part of the message. Tzorach letchila lahashpil es rucho v'nafsho lahasir es gavaso. That's why Dafka, Sefer Vayikra, all about Karbanos, starts off with the message of Anava. Because please be consistent with your Karbanos. Don't bring your carbon and think you're such an amazing person. Right? Obviously, we are amazing people. But recognize that we all have what to work on. Shem yelchu yisrael badarko shel Moshe l'saik ba'anava. Say yenechshav ki legrivu as kol karbanos. Okay, so that was really 1/2. Let's continue. A thought that we saw a number of years ago, but I thought we'd do it again because it's a beautiful diak in the psukim. We did it more than 10 years ago. The pasuk tells us towards the beginning in Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph is all about karban ola. So we have the Torah goes through, if you bring an Ola first from Bakar, right? Bakar, cattle. And then it says, what about Sown? If you bring it from Sown, and then if you bring it from Oph. So all three, either cattle or sheep, or bird. So the question that is asked, and we know all kachay kachim. Ol is a kachay kachim. It's the highest level la karbanos. They all have to be shechted on the north side of the azara. Kachay kachim, shechitas and batzafon. That's ola. That's chatas. Right on the north side. Asham. But that halacha is only said explicitly by tzon, the second one. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'shachado so ayercham is be'ech tzafona lifnei Hashem. Does not say tzafon by bakar, which is the first, you would think. V'shachad es ben ha-bakar lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem could mean the whole Azara. No. Right, it says that tzafon. Right, tzafon is be the north side. The north side, and we learn one from the other. So why don't wait? Right, why is tzafon there? And also, ask another question, why is it so important to do it in the tzafon? The north side of the Mizbeach. You might have said the west side of the Mizbeach, right? It's closer to the Kodesh Kodashim. Why dafka the north? Says the Meshech Chachma, source number 6. Hine katzav tzafon betzon velo beben bakar. Why does it say it in the second one, at the first one? Afagav de b'chol makom katzav b'makom ha'ola alma disham ola hu nishcha betzafon. All olas are the north. U'b'chol zos nizhara ha'torah. And yet the Torah does not say it. Lahazker tzafon rak betzon velo bebakar. Why? Mishum hachi, because what is the first one? The first one is all about cows. Bakar. Bakar, cows. Par Mashiach, par Halam Davar. Those are chatos. Amru b'medrash, lefitza tzafon more ala kiduso shel Yitzchak. Tzafon is related to the word tzafun. Tzafon north, tzafun, hidden. Hidden. What's hidden? The ashes of Yitzchak are hidden in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzafon afro lezikaron lefnei Hashem tamid. Tzafon reminds Hashem kaviyachol of tzafon. And that's why it's dafka by tzon. Because that's the sheep, the ram. It's all the same category in halacha. V'akavana she'amru sheruach tzfon is psucha. Umora ala bechira hachashis she'asa Avram Avinu. Also, north symbolized in Chazal. It's open. It's open. What does it mean to open? Free choice. Avraham Avinu had free choice. And he made the choice. The north side. That's where did that come from? But it symbolizes Bechira, but it's really the Akedah. Shehe Maser Nafsho Shel Yisraeli LaHashem U'Kimat Shalala Bechira Mibana Vacharav. Avraham Avinu put it into his DNA of all his descendants that we're going to sacrifice ourselves. We're going to be Moser for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'Kimat Hukva Teva Kayam B'Nefesh HaYisraeli Limsar Atzmo Rachmano Litzlan. Right, as has been pointed out. In every generation, we could say, do we learn as much Torah in the earlier generations? I don't know. Maybe we're not on that level. Do we daven as well as the earlier generations? Maybe not. Right, we're not as much Kavana. Are we Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as the earlier generations? Rachmana Litzlan, we could say yes. That we are proud Jews and we do what we can for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In terms of Mesiras Nefesh. And we get that from the Akedah. We get that from the Akedah, where Hashem was willing, well, Avraham Avinu was willing to do it to Yitzchak. L'chein lo k'siv rak b'ben tzon. That's why it says it by tzon, because an isle is in the category of tzon, haba b'turaz Yitzchak. L'chein lo nizkar b'ben bakar. You don't want to mention it by bakar, because what does bakar remind the Kadosh Baruch Hu of? Cheta egel. So therefore, there's we don't want to mention beferish tzafun there. So tzafon is tzafun. It reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Akedah. And that's why we have to make sure to appreciate every word. And again, that's when we say the Repsukim in the Karbanos, in the morning. So the pasuk about doing it in the tzafon is an important pasuk. Okay, moving right along, beginning in Perek Beis. So we have the Karban Mincha. V'nefesh ki sakriv Karban Mincha Lashem. After Ola, we have Mincha. Nefesh, when somebody brings a karban, Lashem, all the different types of mincha. Solas yia karbano, out of flour. V'yatzak ala Hashem, and asana leha levona. You bring it to Aaron HaKohen v'cholu. Rashi quotes, nefesh kisechta. What do you mean nefesh? Right, when nefesh kisakriv. Earlier we have, imola karbano, adam kiyakriv mikem. A man. Why nefesh? So says Rashi, quoting Chazal, v'nefesh ki secheta, lo nemar nefesh b'chol ha-karbanos nedava, ela b'mincha, only here. Why? Because who's bringing flour? I guess he can't afford a cow, or a chicken, not chicken, a yona or a tor. He can't afford anything. So who brings this? An ani brings the flour. So nefesh. Misha darga v'zadeh mincha ani. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, ma'ala ani alav kilu hikriv nafshi. Yeah. Nefesh, because I accept this as if he gave his whole nefesh. Right? Echad amad, like the Mishnah says at the end of Menachas, echad amarbev, echad amamit, uvachi yachavim libel l'shamayim. It doesn't matter how much. Hashem doesn't look at quantity. Hashem wants to know if we did our best. That's all Hashem wants to know. Did we try our best? Did we try our hardest? And that's what Rabbi Frand in source number 7 says, even though the U.S. Army's slogan used to be all you could be, give all you can give, says Rabbi Frand. And then he quotes a story. I think we quoted this story years ago. But he quotes a story. It's always worthwhile repeating. There was a taxi driver in Eretz Yisrael who was once having a conversation with a passenger, and he said, you know what? I used to drive the Stipler. The Stipler, the Kehilas Yaakov, of Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. He says, really? He says, tell me, did you ever talk to him? He says, yeah. He says, one time he asked me, do I ever get to learn? And I said, sure, every night. Every night after my long day of being a taxi driver, I go to the Rabbi Shear. And I told him, I go to the Rabbi Shear, but I wake up so early and I'm so exhausted. Within 45 seconds every night, I'm out. I just hope I don't snore too loud. I'm out. And I wake up as they're closing the Gemaras at the end of the Shear. And this happens every night. I try. So he says, Rebbe, is it worth it? I feel bad. And maybe it's embarrassing to the Rebbe. I fall asleep every night. Maybe I shouldn't go. I learn about 2 minutes and 3 minutes. And the Stipler explains, nefesh kisakrif, our pasuk. You're giving your nefesh. You're giving your carbon mincha, and that's what you could do. Many people will look at this story and see the negative. A man snoozing through a shear night after night, year after year, the Stipler looked at it differently. This man's exhaustion wasn't by choice. He needed a parnasa. Driving all day made him drowsy. The fact that he voluntarily showed up every night of the shear took tremendous mesiris nefesh. And giving all that we are capable of giving is all that Hashem expects of us. So we have to give the most that we could do. We got to push. We don't know how much we could give until we push. So we got to do our best what we can do. Okay, one more thought relating to also the same pasuk, but also relating to Vayikra, and then we'll get to a couple of thoughts in Yoni Purim. Rav Sternbach on Tam Vadas. Same pasuk. Next one. We just read Nefesh Kisakrif. So in Perek Dalid, we have Dabel Ben Yisrael Imar, Nefesh Kisechta Bishgaga. So it's interesting that Chazal pick up on the Nefesh Kisechta. Right, pick up on the first one, Nefesh Kisakrif. Right, Perek Beit Pasuk Aleph, Nefesh, it's in Ani. But here, Chazal don't focus on the Nefesh. So that's what Rav Sternbach picks up on. Why the Nefesh here by a Karban Chatos? Right, Nefesh, this isn't about a Karban Mincha, right, this is going to be animals. So why nefesh here? Says of Sternbach, Kisha Adam Yisrael Chotei Rachman Litzlan. When a Jew sins, Kivan She'asa B'mezid. If a Jew sins willfully, Hare Kisha Over Al Tzivi Melech Malko Shalolam. So then I violated with my body the words of the king. Yesh B'maisa Marita B'malcho Shemayim. There's a rebellion here. It's terrible. Umavazos Garam Nelanav Shal Rosh Apagamba. I not only rebelled physically, but I defiled my nefesh. Because when I sin, Rav Soloveitchik talks about this, the difference between a chait being mechayev and a chait being metame. Right? On the one hand, a chait is mechayev. I am obligated in a punishment. A chait is mechayev. But a chait is also metame. It impurifies me. And that's why you have kapara and tahara also as the parallel. But avalachote b'shogeg, but a chait b'shogeg, so that, to use Rav Soloveitchik's lashon, that's not machayev, really an onesh in that way. Avalachote b'shogeg, ki b'kibin shebertzono lo ayachaf chayfes la'boris aveira. I didn't want to do the sin. It was a shogeg. Hari ein kan marid b'malchus. There's no rebellion here. Umashu tzarach l'chaper, hu rak pagama nefesh. So if I did an aver b'shogeg, what I have to fix is the sullying of my soul. Not so much my body, because I didn't want to do it. It was a shogeg. So by chatas, the Torah introduces it with nefesh kisechta, nefesh. It's the nefesh that requires the fixing. Ulazet tzarach lavi karban leschaper. Tainu sheim agavlan chovah adei zakai. Vim gilgalu min hashamayim. If it turned out from heaven, sheyavah yado davar chay peshogeg, if a chayt happened, simin that I need a kapara. And that's why it says, v'nefesh kisechta bishkaga. Because nefesh and shogeg has to do with the nefesh. Has to do with the nefesh, and that's why we bring a shogeg. Interesting, we don't bring one for ones. If somebody does a ma'aseh avera ba'ones, this is not our topic now, but it's a good lumdish topic. If somebody does a ma'aseh avera ba'ones, so is that not even metame? Is it not even a ma'aseh avera? Because you don't bring a carbon for it? The lumdish is between ones and shogeg. Or misasek even, if we putting all those together. Okay. Okay, let's get a few thoughts related to Inyani Purim, which is so crucial this year. V'nafochu, we're davening so much. Somebody pointed out that really the 13th month is, there are 12 constellations in the skies and all the astronomy and all of the 13th month doesn't have one. We're in a Me'al HaTeva month. And that's what we're davening for. This Purim has superpower. We just have to tap into it. We have to do everything we can to tap into the power of this Shanam Uberes Purim in order to be able to get the most out of it. So a couple of thoughts, three thoughts related to Purim. First is from Rabbi Lamb's commentary on the Megillah Sasser. Interesting, sometimes it works out that there's no English sources, and sometimes there are a couple of English sources. Just works out. There's no specific rhyme or reason, just after finding the thoughts. So Rabbi Lamb points out, towards the beginning of the Megillah, Achashverosh made a party for 6 months, and then he hadn't made a party for another week, because he didn't have enough. Another week. Megillas Esther manifests a remarkable phenomenon of duplication. There are many repetitions. There was a party, and then there was a party. The repetition of certain things twice seems to crop up all through the work in a manner that begs explanation. Thus, there are two drinking parties, right here at the beginning. One was 180, one was 7, but one for the nobility and one for the masses. And then there were two at the same time. There were two feasts, one for Vashti and one for Esther. Even more astounding, because it is inherently irrational, for which the reasons, right, there's a repetition of the gathering of the maidens at a beauty contest to choose a queen, even though Esther had already been chosen after Vashti was disposed of. Esther invites the king and Haman twice, even though she could have accused Haman at the first party. The legislation of 2 days of Purim. One for 14th, one a 15th. There are twos and twos. Everything is double. Mordechai and Esther twice legislate the reading of the Megillah and the attendant mitzvahs of Purim, even though once would have sufficed. How shall we all explain this? Why there's so many doubles, doubles, doubles? Everything in twos. Right? In the Pesach, it's all fours. Pesach is all fours. Four kosos and four sons and four questions. Here it's twos. So he quotes from Rabbi Zev Gotold for the following insight. Perhaps it is a subtle reaction, but one which most Persian Jews at that time would have been sensitive to against the dominant Persian pagan religion. It has been commented often, the Megillas Esther goes out of its way not to emphasize the Jewish religion. There is no explicit mention of God. Remember, at this time, what does the Gemara say? Akati avdi achashverosh anan. We had to write a Megillah in a way that showed our victory, but didn't let Achashverosh feel that he lost. And didn't make him feel like a fool. So you had to write it and record it in a way that if you read between the lines, you can see what's going on, but Achashverosh reads it and is he so bad in the story? Doesn't sound like he's so bad. I mean, there's some unusual things. He allows Haman to decide to wipe out a nation without even knowing what nation it was. And then when Esther says, my nation is going to be wiped out, Achashverosh has no idea, like, which nation? Oh, like, this. We read it as, like, the 2 days in the Gemara. Was he very smart or was he a big fool? Right? So you can read it both ways. That's exactly. They had to be very politically correct in writing the Megillah. So there has to be a lot of hints. The references to him, to God, are vague and indirect. This is so apparently because the Jews of that era were still in exile. did not want to upset the local authorities and masses, who would not want the Jewish God to be credited with the redemption of Israel and the humiliation of a prominent fellow citizen. For the same reason, says Rabbi Lamb, the Megillah included a subtle polemic, sardonic and satiric and even humorous in nature, against the dualism of ancient Persian religion. We believe in Hashem Echad. It's all one. Hashem Echad. Most other religions believed in at least two. Good and bad, night and day, cold and hot. Everything is twos, because there can't be opposites that come from the same source. Right? What does Yirmiyahu say in Eicha? Mipi el yom lo teitzei haroz v'hatov. And we can read that as a rhetorical question. They don't both come from Hashem. By emphasizing the number two in the story of Jewish redemption, it's to emphasize that the very number that characterized the Persian religion, shtei reshuyos, dualism, was the one utilized by the one God of Israel to secure his people's triumph against a Persian tyrant. I'm going to take all your twos and use that for the Geula. I'm going to make two parties and two letters and 2 days. I'm going to use all the twos because I'm the one. Because I'm the one. And I could use all your twos for my benefit. Had the Megillah been composed in a Christian country, perhaps all the above events would have happened and described this three times. Interesting. Rabbi Lamb, right? The Trinity. Just as the pagan deities of ancient Egypt, the Nile, the frogs, became the instrument of redemption, Hashem used the all of what they worshipped to punish them, so too the twos was there to punish them as well. One thought related to Pur. Number two, second message relating to Purim. The Darkei Musar, in the back of the Darkei Musar on Chumash, he has a couple of pages on Yomim Tovim. So he comments on the Pasuk where Haman reflects his feeling after being the richest man, the prime minister of the greatest civilization of the time, having all the money. Wherever he went, everybody bowed down to him. Except for one guy. Uvachol ze einenu shaveli. This is worthless. I have the worst life in the world. I have nothing. V'chol ze einenu shaveli, says Haman. My life is meaningless. This one Jew doesn't bow down to me. I have nothing. He quotes the Mesillas Yesharim. Right? The Ramchal and many others based on the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. This world is a pruzdar. This world is just a hallway. You ever go to a wedding and just go to the hallway and then go home? No, go to a hallway. You got to go to the ballroom. The hallway is just a way to get to the ballroom. This world, Olam Hazeh, is just a hallway. Shekfar lo yucha shum bal secha. Nobody in their right mind could think that this is the goal. That we live this life with all of our challenges and all of our limits. And that's it. Ki mahim chaya adam ba'olam hazeh. O mishu sasamach v'shalo ba'mash. Ba'olam hazeh. Shivim shana, shmonim shana. You have such a challenging life and then that's it? It can't be. This life is a pruzdar. And he quotes the Gemara, the Mishnah, the end of Brachas, where we know they used to say, right, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, but in the Beis HaMikdash they said, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam V'ad HaOlam. They mentioned two Olams, because there are two Olams. Min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. V'tzorach l'charabir asked the Darkei Musar, why didn't we do that in the first place? Why did they have to min ha'olam and people were thinking there's only one world, so make it into two worlds? Bir madua b'tchila amru min ha'olam. Why they only say one? Hara yeshnam shnei olam, was there's two. Ela nirali levar, he says, no. There's really only one. You get to choose which one you have. Be'emes Ein ki im olam echad. Klomar. If we are righteous and serve Hashem in this world, and we have fulfillment in our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, then we only have one world. It's olam haba. It's the spiritual world. Even in this world, it's the only world. If everything we do is l'shem avodas Hashem, ki ein ki im olam echad, klomar, hatzadikim ba'olam haba, yesh lem olam haba, gam ba'olam hazeh, there's olam haba even here. Hayos ve'im nenim ilim in a Torah, miki im mitzvos seh, ve'a Torah and mitzvos, adein shir v'u tainuk v'idun amiti, Shabbos. So tzadikim only have one world. Hopefully we're all tzadikim, olam haba.
Rishayim only have one world. Olam Hazeh. That's the only world they have. They don't believe in Olam Haba. Hare ein lehem ki emes ha'olam hazeh. Achalib de'emes gam olam hazeh ein lehem. But you know what? Even if they have Olam Hazeh, they don't even have Olam Hazeh. Because if you think this is the end all and the be all, who has everything? Who has a perfect Olam Hazeh? And if this is all that you're about, nobody has a perfect Olam Hazeh. At different stages of life. As one gets older, what? Everything keeps working perfectly. There's no aches and pains. Nobody has a perfect Olam Hazeh. So tzaddikim only have one world, Olam Haba. Rishayim have no worlds. Because all they have is Olam Hazeh, and it's real. Haman had no worlds. The kol ze inenu shavili. Let's turn the page now. It's worthless. Line 18. Haman amar v'kol ze inenu shavili. Avo b'shai salo ashirus v'gedula. V'chol hevle olam hazeh. He had everything. Kefisha ba'atzmo siper al ashro v'rov bana. V'chol zos heir al atzmo v'chol ze inenu shavili. He was missing a little bit. Nothing. Sheyachaselo ma'ata kavet shemordechai lo ishtachev elo. V'ma'ata ze bito beinav es kol erko shalash ragoldo v'kvoto. Nothing. Nothing was worth it. He had 99.9%. He didn't have a little bit. Nothing. In Ruchnius, no. The more you have, you feel good and you want more, but it's a different world. And that was the world of Mordechai. Remember the Gemara? Haman comes to Mordechai and all of a sudden he sees they're learning the halachas of the Beis HaMikdash. He was in shock. Because underneath there, he saw that they were in a different world. They were in a different world. And that's what the message is that we have to recognize as well. We have to be in one world. That's Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. Okay. The last and final thought. And this is something that we have to take with us for our life. But especially now, especially this Purim. There's so much power this Purim could have. So much power. I think I remember the when I was learning here in Eretz Yisrael for my first year in Israel. So it was my first year was the Gulf War. The Gulf War. And I remember we had the gas masks and the sealed rooms. And I remember thinking, like how is this ever going to end? Like what, they're going to, Saddam Hussein is going to say the promise, okay, no more scuds, and I'm going to believe him. And I remember thinking that. And then what happened, those who remember, Purim, 1991, I think it was January 91, Purim morning, they announced you could put away your gas masks and open your sealed rooms. Purim morning. And I remember thinking, like, how do they know? How could they, like, trust? Like, how do they know? But guess what? They knew. They knew. That was it. It was over. Purim morning. So we have no idea. I have no idea how, you know, how they knew, but the Nahafochu. That was an unbelievable Purim. Purim has that power. Koach HaTfila, Koach of Am Yisrael. And this next thought tells us what we have to do on Purim. You have it there in the Kamotzi Shel HaRav on Purim. He quotes from the Evan Yaakov. He quotes, Esther Amalka comes to Achashverosh and says, Vatan Esther Amalka Vatomer, Matzazi Chein Beinecha HaMelech, if I find favor in your eyes, Vimal HaMelech Tov. And again, you can read every pasuk like this, talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tinasein li nafshi b'she'ela si v'yami b'vakashasi. Please give me my soul in my she'ela and my nation in my bakasha. What is the difference between she'ela and bakasha? Right? They basically kind of mean, both mean, like beseech and ask. What's the difference between she'ela and bakasha? And why is the dafka she'ela regarding to nafshi, herself, Nafshi with my she'ela, and ami b'vakashasi, on my nation with my bakasha. Right, so what is the relationship between those two? Says, here he quotes from the Evan Yaakov. He said there's a big difference between the two. Yesh hevdol bein shtei lashonos, line 8. Ha hagdara she'ela mat'ima la'adam ha'shol mechaveru havaktana. She'ela, what does she'ela mean in halacha? A shoel. I borrow something, I ask for something, a little loan. And I say, could you please help me out here? If you could do it, great. And if you're not, okay, I'll deal with it. That's a she'ela. She'ela is a request, an asking of something. But if you don't get the answer, okay, you don't get the answer. Bakasha is much more intense. Bakasha is asking. But if you don't get the answer that you need, then you're going to ask again. And you're going to ask again. And we're going to keep knocking. And we're going to pester. And we're not going to stop until we get the answer that we need. Because a bakasha is not just for a, not just a simple request that maybe a yes, maybe no. Right? A bakasha is, I need this. Adam mavakish me chaveru shiatzilo so, save me, me asam kolshi. Oh, I need this money, or I'm going to go bankrupt, I'm going to lose everything. Esther Amalka says, nafshi, my own soul, I would love to save myself, but that'll be she'elasi. Ami, my nation, I'm not going to stop. Bevakashasi. My nation, I'm going to be mavakish, and I'm not going to stop being mavakish. And that's what she says, line 7. Ulam lagabe ami, arezu bakashasi. She'osa avakish mimcha la'atzilas ami so mikilayon, v'im lo tamale, lo ezo, I'm not leaving. V'lo aniach lecha, I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you not give the answer that we need. And now, based on that, the Kamotzi Shal Rav quotes his father, who says, maybe that's also connected to the pasuk in L'David. Right? Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem, osa avakish. We start off with a she'ela. Hashem, I have a question, I have a she'ela. But then it's going to turn very quickly into a bakasha. The shifti beves Hashem we can't live without. That's a bakasha. And in the middle of Shemona Esrei, when we daven three times a day, what does Chazal call those? The Chazal doesn't call those she'elos. Chazal calls those bakashos. Because it's things that we need. It's things that we keep coming back for. Over and over again. The same words written by Nevi'im, the Anshei Knesset Gedola. The same words, mevakesh and mevakesh and mevakesh. And that's what we need to do over the next 4 days. We have an extended Purim season this year. Right? The Mukdam of Tainus Esser, but Tainus Esser is already one of the Yemei Purim. So we could have 4 days of Yemei Purim here. Tainus Esther, and the Friday, and Shabbos, and Sunday. 4 days. And Monday. Right. 5 days. So we have to use our bakasha power. Right? We have to use our bakasha. Not ami bavakashasi. We have to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need this. You know we need this. You know we need this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done Nisim in the past on Purim. By Yamei Mahem and even Bizman Hazeh, he's done them. As we just had, as I mentioned, 30 plus years ago. But we have to recognize. We have to recognize it's in the power of these days. You hear what Son HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our bakashas and helps out Am Yisrael in ways that we're doing our ishtavlus. We're doing what we can. And everybody needs to be doing what they can. And by Hashem, we should be zocha to a mamish v'na'afochu. Mamish, time that we can look back and say, remember that? Remember that v'na'afochu in our day. And it doesn't have to be b'derech miraculous. It could be b'derech hateva. Kadosh Baruch Hu could figure it out. And Hashem, yiratzon, that he listens to our bakasha. We can stop being mevakesh because we'll get all the answers. And Hashem, we should be zocha to a Purim that's full of simcha and Yeshua and Lahuda Maisa Ora, the Simcha, the Sason, Vikar.